welcome to the Solari Report. It is a great privilege to welcome back to the Solari Report Corey Lynn of Corey Diggs. If you're not signed up and supporting Corey Diggs, you need to go there right now and do that. Corey has added a lot of incredible intelligence to our network this year. And first, I got to thank her, but then I want to introduce her. I said to her at the late spring, I said, Corey, we need a serious series on vaccine passports. Would you do it? Because we need to really deep dive the detail if we're going to figure out how they're going to dovetail with the financial system. But there's a lot going on and a lot of people trying to compete into that space. So it's complex. It's complex and the technology is complicated. And she did, and wow, a four-part series. It's up at Corey Diggs. It's up at Solari Report. And she joins us today to walk us through what are the passports, what's happening, how do we stop it, why it's so important to stop it. And, you know, it's all part of the control grid. And this is a very big, important piece of the software that's going to be used to try and literally control everything down to your bank account. So, Corey, thank you for joining us on the Solari Report, and thank you for the incredible job you did on this series.
Oh, you bet. Thanks for – I've learned a lot along the way.
I bet you have. You would call me and describe these. You know, I have this image of your, you know, like big post-it notes all over the wall surrounded by lists and organization charts and, you know.
And whiteboards and white paper. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it sounds – well, but that's – what it takes. That's what it takes to map this out.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never forget being on Wall Street and saying to one of my associates, I want you to completely, you know, memorize and learn this one section of the IRS code. And I came back and his entire office walls were covered with post-it notes with tiny handwritten, and he had literally mapped out the whole thing in an organizational chart and writing. It was incredible.
That's awesome. And,
well, the thing is, you know, once you read it, you understood it. So let's just dive in. I asked you to write this series, and so you started. There are four parts. Talk about where you started and what you thought about vaccine passports or vaccine ID passports when it started.
Well, I knew where they were headed. I knew this whole, you know, the going direct and the great reset. I knew this all tied together. I knew they had been pushing for these digital identities and that they were utilizing the QR code for the vaccine ID passports. And I started digging into that and immediately saw the connection to blockchain. But everyone's been talking about this great reset for so long, and I hadn't seen like a really solid breakdown of the operation and the players and how many different agendas tie together to I mean, this is global.
Right. So, this is a real tremendous integration across many industries.
Yes. Yeah. And they have, there's, I mean, in this report alone, I talk about over 285 organizations and people involved. And I mean, that's not even all of them, but we have pretty much our top dogs in there. And the infrastructure's there. I mean, I wanted to see at what stage they were at with each part of this to try and gauge, you know, how much time do we have to fight this? And how quickly is this going to evolve, you know, through the banking system, because we know it's headed there as well. And so the infrastructure is there. It's all in place. They've got the technology. They know what they're doing. They know where they're going with this. But to integrate it throughout each country and then internationally, that is a work in progress for them.
Right. It's a big job. Now, one of the things you did in part one, I'm showing it up on the screen share, is you looked into states that had fully or partially banned vaccine passports. Mm-hmm. And what you found was there are a lot of loopholes in the Swiss cheese on this one.
Yes, yes. I wanted to get an idea, you know, right out the gate. I wanted to get an idea of where all the states stood on this, at least, you know, in the U.S. And I touched on a handful of other countries as well, some of which, of course, are quite a bit ahead of us on this. And it was interesting because there were really, at that time, this was at the end of June when I did part one, there were only three states. It was Florida, Alabama, and Montana that did a statewide ban. So that was across, you know, the institutions and schools and corporations and any federal state offices. So that was pretty impressive. I was happy to see that. And then as I started rolling through the other states, I found, you know, partial bans where they weren't going to allow any state, you know, state local governments to demand it upon access to any of those buildings, but they weren't going to try and control individual businesses.
Right.
And so that was interesting to see that breakdown. And we definitely need more fighting on that front, especially after Biden's speech the other day.
Well, you know, when you wrote part one, mm-hmm. what you could hear from many people who I discussed this with was they couldn't fathom where these folks were going. You know, they couldn't fathom. I remember looking at one passport app from Spain, and they had it set up to check the box that you'd had the first of all eight injections.
Wow.
Right. You know, so, well, if you look at the contracts they were putting out in 2020, they were putting out contracts so that every American could get one a month. So they were building capacity for many, many, you know, this was not just 2 weeks to flatten a curve or right. have two shots. This was no, you know, regular and constant shots. So this is a treadmill. And,
we knew they were going to keep going with this and that it wasn't going to become a one-off thing. They were going to say we were going to need it, you know, seasonally or every year. And of course, now they're bringing in the boosters, and now they have Pfizer working on the antiviral pills that you have to take with the jabs.
Right.
So it's never ending.
It's an unending business model. Now, mm-hmm. one of the ways that the passports are being sold is that this protects your privacy. It's not an ID system. It protects your privacy, which, mm-hmm. of course, is a huge bunch of hooey. But, right. you know, it's very clever the way they're selling it. Another way they're selling it is, oh, well, you don't have to get the injection. You can also take a test.
Right.
But once you get the system integrated and going, that must be your puppy.
I'm sorry. There's... Guys, hang on, let me shut my curtains. There's dogs walking by. One second. No barking. Lay down. Lay down. Sorry. Should have had babysit.
That's
today.
Okay. We love puppies here at the Solaria Report. Anyway, there you go.
Lay down.
Our greatest puppy story was I was out of the country, and my webmaster came and used my house for a couple weeks, and he and my dog, who was on a dog share, fell in love and ran off together. So, you know, I'm never one to stand in the way of true love. Anyway, so another marketing ploy basically is, oh, well, you can take a test too, but it's not hard to fathom that once they've got the whole grid, the whole control grid in place, wham,
right.
They can shut it down. So anyway, so part one, now when you finished part one, what had changed in your view of this effort of vaccine passports? How did you change between, you know, zero and the end of part one?
So I honestly was optimistic because I was surprised to see so many states stepping up. Even if it was just a partial ban, the fact that they were putting any kind of a ban on it made me optimistic in saying, okay, we actually could potentially get more legislators behind us here. And if we can ban these, I mean, because that's the first step. We have to stop these so that it doesn't, right. you know, continue through this whole rollout, because it's really not about the digital identity is not about the virus at all. I mean, that's
right. Just, it's about total control. Know.
Right. They're just using that right. as the mechanism to get everyone into the system. Right.
So I always tell people, don't worry about the CBDCs. This will lock you down into the whole system long before. Worry mm-hmm. about the passports.
Right.
So
right.
one of the things you did do on when you realized right away that on this series we needed things that people could do, positive action.
Right.
And the three you had on part one was, I'll just put it up on the screen here, Cash Friday. Cash Friday had already begun. And then shift into well-managed community banks and credit unions. So whether it's cash or smaller banks, community banks, decentralize your money and your bank deposits, and then educate your local and state representatives. You know, so the state representatives can't say no unless they've got real support from the troops.
Right.
So yeah. Those were three very good suggestions. Okay, so the next thing that happened is we then go to part two. So mm-hmm. tell us about how you decided on what you were going to do with part two.
Well, so I remember emailing you about this. I was starting to realize the more research I was gathering and I'm starting to map this out, I said, my God, this is a beast. I think I need to preface it with who, what, when, where, why, and who, so that people understand who really is involved in this. Who's behind all
I used
of
to
this.
Have a friend who'd say, who's doing this? Who's doing this? So this was your, who's doing this?
Yeah, I thought that was necessary to understand, you know, kind of the basics of the agenda and who's behind it before showing the key implementers and how it's rolling out exactly.
Uh-huh. So one of the things I really loved about this was you and I had all these incredible conversations mm-hmm. because you are just, I would describe you as a killer researcher. You're just on your ability to dive in and gather all the complexity, make sense of it, and gather it up is incredible. But you still are not, you know, you still don't come out of the financial system. And so it was very interesting for me as a publisher was sort of behind the scenes, you know, cheering you on and enthusiastic about this to read it and then like have little, okay, here's how this works and here's how this works and here's how this works. And it was like we were doing a jigsaw piece puzzle and we were trying to, you know, you knew about how all these areas worked and I knew how these areas worked and we're like moving the jigsaw puzzle pieces around
right.
while we're trying to map out who's who.
Right. And of course, everything I came across with banking, I'd shoot it over. Am I understanding this correctly?
Yeah.
This is what I'm seeing here.
Well, one of the great things about this article is it reflects, you know, it reflects a really serious effort at understanding how the different industries, including the financial system, work. Okay, so you finished the sort of who, what, where. One of the things you went into was the, you know, the digital identity effort with ID 2020. Could you maybe just say a few words about what that is so people understand?
Oh boy. So ID 2020, I'm going from memory here. Of course, Bill Gates, Rockefeller Foundation, Accenture, who am I missing? There's four or five of them involved.
Well, you know, Harvard's in there.
Well, yeah. They're
they're everywhere.
He funds them to roll out all the papers, to justify their actions. Gosh, I'm drawing a blank because I have over 200 organizations in my head, but the big ones, IDEO, I believe it's pronounced IDEO. But Accenture, Rockefeller, and Gates, I mean, they're the main ones there with ID 2020.
Uh-huh.
And so they wanted this, they formed this back in, oh gosh, oh, was it 2016? They were ahead of the game on this. We already knew this was coming. We have many people had been talking about ID 2020 long before COVID even hit.
Uh-huh.
And so this is something they had been working on, wanting to get everyone onto this digital identity. And of course, they always use
the poor. This will help
yes.
people who are unbanked get access. And this is, you know, we're going to help the the excluded, and the, you know, this is going to make the world inclusive, and this is going to help the poor.
Right.
And, you know, they've always got those sweet songs.
Right. We need to get everyone into a bank account, and how wonderful we are saving the world. And so they, as after the virus hit, COVID, you know, hit, then they decide they're going to become the certifiers. So they are the ones, you know, and
they get to say whether you're a real person or not. So you're not a sovereign individual. You're only a sovereign individual if they say you are.
Well, and they get to determine if the apps being put out are, you know, meet their, I think it's like 40-point standard. And so, and of course they're basing that on, they really liked the one that was rolled out in China, which was the first one that was rolled out. And of course it used the QR code.
Right.
And they had the different colors that would, you know, pop up and show if you were negative or this or that. And so they ultimately became the certifiers. Of course, they're involved in every level of this whole integration.
So the passport really integrates, or it appears that it integrates the idea of a global digital ID system.
Oh, yeah.
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 Global. And totally global and totally centrally controlled. And one of the selling points is, oh, it's going to give you complete privacy. You know, mm-hmm. people can confirm this or that about you without, you know, compromising your privacy.
Well, and you know why? Because what they're doing is, for one, they're saying, well, the Linux Foundation is building the privacy and security into this so everyone feels safe because, you know, Linux is open source. And the other thing they're doing is they're saying blockchain. They're using the blockchain framework as the platform. And so most people who understand blockchain automatically say it's cryptocurrency and it's blockchain and it's totally decentralized. But they're utilizing the technology in these platforms to centralize much of it. So there's federated, there's centralized, and there's decentralized.
Right.
And so first off, anyone who sees the players involved in all of this that would even think for a minute that they're not going to have access to this data, you know what I mean? I mean,
it's what I call the data beast, and it's been going, the data beast has been growing for a long, long, long time, funded by our taxpayers' money. Now, okay, so you finish part two, you go through all the creepy ID 2020 and sort of who's who. How did you feel at the end of part two?
I was thinking, my God, how am I going to break this web down of all these players? Because by now I had all these categories going across my whiteboard, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. Who's setting the standards for this? You know, I wanted to kind of pick it apart and see who's covering what area of this. And in some cases, obviously we have multiple people technology companies putting out the apps, but many of them are just small players in this, small fish. But we've got the ones setting the standards. And of course, immediately I go, okay, well, we know the who's probably going to be involved there. And we know the World Economic Forum, you know, they probably have a white paper on this, and actually the European Union, they're utilizing their template with this. So it just kept evolving and expanding.
It's kind of, you know, it's kind of like a land rush. and what you've got is players all around the world seeing the land rush and all rushing to fill in that space.
Yeah.
Okay, so then part three, you decided, okay, your next, that's when you got into the details of the key implementers of the blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just scrolling it down it now on the screen. I don't know. Can you see it?
Yeah.
So this one, you called me and you said, I love this chart with the train tracks, the key implementers. And this was where, you know, we really got into the fact that the guys ultimately, I think, who are the most powerful behind this are the central banks and the large banks and then all the money guys. I mean, if you just look how this lays out, it's all the money guys. So walk us through the key implementers chart.
Okay, so So I broke it down into, gosh, I don't even know, about 7 or 8 categories. So we have the drivers and the enforcers, which is who you just said, excuse me, the central banks and the large bank members. We have the asset managers, of course, BlackRock, Vanguard, foundations, and endowments.
That's where Harvard and Rockefeller come in.
Yep. We have the digital identity front runners, because I was trying to look across, and this actually incorporates several countries in this one, because many countries are ahead of us on this as far as how many, you know, how hardcore they've implemented it and rolled it out and how many million people they've managed to get on board. So we've got, I don't know if I'm saying this right, Akame. Cardano, Commons Project and Trust, the EU CDD, Evernim, IBM, CETC. So,
and I just have to mention something creepy, because IBM, as we know, has a very creepy history on this. But my understanding is IBM has a lot of the smart meter software, as well as the census, was the contractor on the census. So the IBM is a major player in the control grid.
They are. And it's interesting, because when I was digging through all of this, I can tell you they fly under the radar quite well.
Yeah. The other one that flies under the radar, I don't know if they're even in here, is AT&T. It's, you know, so you have, obviously you have the telecoms playing a big part, and the 5G satellite system makes that even bigger and bigger. AT&T is another one that flies under the radar and is major.
Yes, they made it into part four.
Right.
so then we have the infrastructure, and we've got, you know, a lot of big players in there that are working on
cloud players, the big clouds.
Yeah, big clouds. Which, you know, I don't know if you want me to read through them or not.
No, we have. You can go through the different categories. Okay, we can see them on the screen.
Yeah. And then we have, of course, privacy and security, which Linux Foundation is working on. And then the cross-border regulation designers, because that's, from what I researched, it seems like that part is the biggest hang-up in this, that's going to take the longest to connect.
Right. And cross-border payments. That's exactly what that is. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we have the certifiers, standards and guidelines, and then we have, you know, players who are instrumental, like Deloitte and the Good Health Pass Network, which was also formed by ID 2020. And everyone who's anyone is, as a bigger implementer or player in this, is part of that network.
Right.
And then we have, of course, you know, Big Gov, Bill Gates, Rockefeller Foundation. There's many people funding this, but they repeatedly keep coming up in all sections of this, you know, agenda being rolled out.
It's very clever how this is being done, because if the central banker said, look, we want a financial system, we want complete financial control, and we're going to roll out, you know, we're going to make this system go all digital, and we're going to roll out a complete control grid. In fact, we're going to use taxpayers' money to finance a complete electrical control grid where we can control you and all your money and see everything you're doing and track you directly and have total central control. Everyone would say, no. You know, we don't want to be controlled by the guys who brought you the financial crisis. We hate you. But this whole thing is being marketed as health.
Oh, I know. Right. And then you look at the huge infrastructure plan that's being rolled out, and you start breaking that down, the entire thing is about building out the smart grid.
Right.
Because they want, it's not just people, they want every single product. So we now have the ability to assign.
Right, but I can't turn off your electricity, and I can't turn off your electrical car unless I've got you on the grid, right?
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And I can't turn down your thermostat unless you have that smart thermostat in your house.
Exactly.
That I can access remotely. But yeah, this infrastructure plan, it's all about rolling out the smart grid. And look, they've already forecasted that these digital IDs will grow from 7.6 billion in 2020 up to 15.8 billion by 2025. I mean, it's a racket. You know, they're making big money through all of this along the way to their full control.
Right. And one thing, part of this competition is that if you study AI, what you realize is the guy with the best AI is the guy with the best data. In other words, you get the best AI by having the most data to feed the AI.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of this is a land rush to get the most AI. You know, if we digitize the atmosphere, the trees, nature, people, everything, that's how we maximize total digital. And they're literally creating the capacity in the database to simulate everything.
Oh, yeah.
And
they're putting smart packaging into all products. They want every product to have, so everything will have an individual IP assigned to it, and it'll all be connected into the smart grid. And that's another one. They forecast AI by next year to be, to generate $4 trillion in added value for global markets. So
you finished part three. I'm just scanning down it. And this one was a real bear. It got very, very long because you really had to map out all the players and the big issues like the cross-border issues.
Right.
So you have this – I said to you, we need to do a list of everybody in alphabetical order so you can find yeah. all your favorite criminal enterprises. Anyway, and you did. This is really a magnificent piece of investigative journalism. But then you ended with, it's time to derail their train. I love this picture.
Yes, we need to not comply, not utilize these apps or the QR code and stay on top of legislators. I mean, it's so important.
Well, what they're planning, and you see it, Alison McDell has mapped it out very well in some of her things. You see them prototyping systems where somebody's born and the blockchain is created immediately for them and all their data is collected into that blockchain for the rest of their life. No privacy, no secrecy. And of course, what that means is you can collateralize the CBDC currencies with humans. So instead of a gold standard, you just have a human standard. You have a slavery system.
Right. We now have NEC, in fact, just completed their wonderful fingerprint biometrics on babies. So, you know, there you go. They want to start tying that in instead of utilizing birth certificates. Let's go straight to biometrics, which they anticipate biometrics. They expect that to reach 95% of all smartphones globally by 2025.
I just got an email from a subscriber who was talking to another subscriber who was trying to roll over her unemployment compensation from, it's the federal program. Yeah. And they were requiring her to sign something that said the private company that was going to have access to her biometric data, because it all works off of biometric, you know, was free to sell her biometric data.
Yeah.
And she had to agree to that to get unemployment.
Yeah, that's another one I have in here, ID.me. They now, I believe it's in 28 states now, if you need unemployment, you have to go through ID.me, and it involves biometrics and all kinds of good stuff.
Right. The plan to strip people of their earning potential and assets and then get them over a barrel with all these things is quite extraordinary. Okay, so you ended part three, and how did you feel? You were going through this really, really evolving process of learning about this and kind of mapping it out. So you were going through real changes as you were doing this.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. It was pretty intense to see actually how far, because at this point now, I didn't put it in here. I put much of it in part four. I already had a slew of examples in multiple countries of what was already rolled out.
Right.
And I just kept thinking, my God, you know, like I thought I had a good view of the overall scope until I started doing this and realizing down to every last little product, you know, the way in which they're going to, try to control us. And here we are.
This is complete control.
Yeah.
Absolutely complete control. And I still believe, you know, one of my favorite quotes is Naomi Wolf gave a presentation or an interview on these very early on and said, vaccine ID passports will be the end of human liberty in the West. Yeah. And I think that is the best summation I've heard so far. And it's coming very fast. That's one of the things you show is how fast it's coming and how long they've been working on this.
Yeah, they've been building this up for a while.
Yeah. So then we started part four, and part four was, you know, it was kind of like rounding up all the cattle in the Western states.
Yeah, part four was the longest piece. I think I capped out at about 53, 54 pages on that one.
Yeah, and so tell us about part four.
So this one I wanted to get more into the QR code itself so that people understood how they're integrating this into the blockchain and what all they are integrating, and some pretty nefarious things that are going on with it, how far they've come with it. And I, of course, have a whole section in here on George Church, geneticist.
Well, who is a piece of work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's yeah.
There he is.
Where to begin with him? Yeah. I mean, so everyone knows, I actually reported on this, I did a 6-part report on eugenics a few years back, and I was talking about back then how they were taking and collecting people's DNA under the guise of, hey, we're going to show you your background, your nationality, and all kinds of wonderful things, and you know, you have Ancestry, 23andMe, there were a bunch of them. And I personally know people that did it because, you know, no one was the wiser. They're thinking, oh, this is kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
Send this in and find out. Well, then I came to find that some of that information was being sold. And of course, Bill Gates was involved in some of it. And so I was putting out a warning back then. And so now what's happened is we've evolved. George Church was involved with the Human Genome Project. That's my favorite. His slide he puts up to let everyone know this is my conflict of interest slide. So, I mean, he's tied into Harvard, MIT, government, you name it. They're about to do a movie on him to try and normalize all of this. And he owns multiple companies that have to do with DNA collection and study and whatnot. And he now has it set up to put on the blockchain. And so they've managed to encapsulate the information in a genomic sequence, stuff it into a QR code, and now they want to put it on the blockchain. And he makes it seem like it's this wonderful thing because now you can sell your DNA, you know, the genomic sequence, to other scientists who can study it, and then they can pay you through tokens. So this is a whole new area that's coming about. It's not just him, it's other companies as well. And that's just one area. But we already know they intend on connecting in your, I'm sure all your listeners know, you know, your healthcare records, your education.
They want everything. This is the database. They want everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Your every move, travel, right. What you buy, how you spend your money.
Right.
Which of course ties into the social score system and the climate scoring system that they're implementing and building out categories into your bank accounts so that they can see exactly where the money's going. So they've made great strides with all of this.
Right. Now, one of the things you saw as efforts were made to pass legislation to promote the vaccine passports, you'd see the bank stocks go up, or to promote the vaccination mandates. As one very brilliant scientist point out, he said, they don't need vaccine. You know, if they just give everybody saline solutions, that'll work fine to get the passports. But what you finally did in 4, I mean, you were gaining on it in 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've always believed the passports are simply what they need for the central bank going direct digital control. And okay. This is just a control mechanism. And the central banks don't want to say, well, we, the central banks, want you to use this passport because we want to control you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they use the sort of bio warfare to get it done. So they present it. It's a marketing strategy to get you to adopt a financial control system.
Exactly.
And in 4, you really deep dive the whole central bank and banking aspect of this. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I was looking at two different avenues with the whole banking system and how this might evolve, if that's the area you're talking about right now.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So one is I was seeing how big tech is really playing quite a role in this and there's a lot of competition. I think that was one of the things that fascinated me the most.
So the bankers and big tech are going head to head.
Yeah, and not just with that, but with this whole agenda. There's a lot of competition. It's not like all these organizations are lockstep in sync. A lot of them are competing against each other.
Absolutely.
They want to be the top dogs.
Right.
So with the banking, I was seeing two different things taking place. One with the big tech that are... So they could, let's say, I'm thinking, let's see. So PayPal did this. They bring in, they can't offer, first off, they don't have the FDIC insurance. You know, they're not a bank. And so they could work with a bank and they could provide a service a bank offers and then act as kind of a third party for that bank. In which case, so like they did some credit cards and some small business loans. And so there was the white paper done. Was it the EOCD? I think it was the EOCD that did the white paper. And they were breaking it down as well, talking about the big tech and how, you know, big tech could actually put a bit of a squeeze on the banks because they have all the data. They know all our behaviors, our spending. That's one thing they have that is so powerful. And so they're already providing the ability to do everything digitally. So how easy it would be to grow that and kind of roll that over and compete with these bigger banks while at the same time, there's this whole other angle that's going on where you've got states that are wanting to implement government-run banks and potentially use the USPS, you know, postal locations as banking, which has, I'm sure you can elaborate more on this.
Well, I have a dog fight in the street. The dogs of war are out tonight. So, one of the challenges is if, to the extent that central bankers do go direct, they do need banks of some kind to do the equivalent of customer support and tech support. Because I assure you, the New York Fed is not going to open a tech support function. So you need somebody to handle sort of the day-to-day mundane problems of interacting at the retail level. But they could use the banking system for that, but if they create quote unquote public banks, what a great way to destroy the last remnants of any kind of financial freedom and have a completely controlled network. So I'm very concerned, and so are a lot of the community, you know, the Community Bankers Association is working on trying to stop this because it would be it would give them a totally controlled capacity,
right?
That would be sort of the death knell to the last things protecting small business, because the health of the small business economy depends totally on that infrastructure of community banks and credit unions. Anyway, so you go through all the financial stuff, and you have now really mapped out the ecosystem for vaccine passports and where it stands. And you come down to the end of this unbelievable piece. Part four to me is just unbelievable, the richness of it. You know, you put this list together of everybody's playing. And when I say everybody's playing, all these players are trying to jump into get the fees and the margins that are going to get squeezed down. So I'm always talking about the, what I call the Midianite thing, people sort of starting to fight among each other. I think all these guys are going to end up killing each other trying to fight over the spread.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, because I thought it would be a little more cohesive. And then as I'm like, oh, there's a lot of competition going on here.
No, this looks like the trading floor at Solomon Brothers. It's a mess. Okay, so you come down to essentially the last section. Hard stop. It's time to man up.
I love this. We have got to just not comply. You know, a lot of these so-called mandates are not laws. It's a lot of intimidation, a lot of noise, and people just, they need to stand their ground, and they need to fight this. And we're seeing a lot of that. We are. I'm impressed. I've seen, you know, a lot. There's a lot of lawsuits in place. There's a lot of protests going on. There's walkouts. There's people getting their companies to change it from a requirement to a recommendation. Otherwise, they're going to lose all their staff. And so that's important. We have to keep pushing forward, because, my God, I mean, look at what's happening in Australia. My poor buddy.
Right. And you know, the president just made a speech, as we know, yesterday, trying to persuade, it's hopeless. There's nothing you can do. Comply.
Right. Trust the science.
Right. Trust the science. My favorite one, you know, Rand Paul, who I got to say is really done some amazing things in the, you know, since he's been in the Senate. But yeah. Rand Paul came out and said, you know, he has no basis in law to do this. He can't do this. He can't do this.
And yet, and he kept repeating through the speech, I have the authority. And
no, you don't. No, you don't.
Yeah. So it was pretty crazy. It's cringy. It's hard sitting through listening to him, but it was necessary. I had to hear what he was going to attempt to roll out. And 19 states stepped up and said, no, we're not going to agree with you on this one. We're going to fight this. So,
right.
So,
well, the Arizona AG and the Pima County came out and said, no mandates. We can't do this. It's not legal.
Yeah. So let's hope that sticks. I mean, not just with the jab, the jab and the IDs. I mean, they go hand in hand. So if you can stop the ID, there's no way to prove whether you had the jab or not. And it's frustrating.
I'll tell you something. One doctor I know said, that the hospital was checking with the government to see if the people who told them they'd been vaccinated really had. And he said, I'm telling you, the government has a database of each person, the date they were injected, and the make of the injection and the lot number. And he said, they've got it all.
I have no doubt, because they've got the little barcodes on the individual vaccines themselves, I believe, or at least early on they were doing that at one point. Do you remember that? That's when people started coming out saying they're this is the chip. And I said, no, that's on the outside of the jab itself. That's not the chip.
So let me bring this up, because I think that, you know, I think the vaccine passports in one sense have nothing to do with the injections. They need that for the financial system, and they need that to build a control grid. And to a certain extent, the injections may just be the excuse they use to get it, because it's a way of marketing the going direct reset, you know, using healthcare instead of finance. Right. But there is no doubt that there's a lot of funny business going on with these injections. And my number one piece of information I would love to know is what the heck is in them. Right. Because we know something about the ingredients, but we don't know 100%. And if you look at the patterns, Corey, worldwide – Not everybody's getting the same thing. I mean, we know batch after batch has turned out to be saline solutions. And the adverse and deaths that I'm getting reported from rich neighborhoods is totally different than poor neighborhoods.
Interesting.
And we've had researchers who get files and do analysis, you know, and they're seeing wildly diverse contents. We know, you know, in Japan, they come up with Moderna shots, and several of the reports was they had stainless steel particles, and the local distributor said, oh, that's no threat to health whatsoever.
Yeah, didn't they put the kibosh on a couple million, or what was it? It was
1.6 million vials got thrown out.
And then they said I thought they said that there was some sort of magnetic property in them or something to that effect.
Right, and interestingly enough, I just read a report, Romania is stopping most of their vaccination program and sending their unused vaccinations to Denmark.
Wow.
Exactly. What have the Romanians accomplished? How did they do it? Mm. So, yeah, there's a lot of pushback against the passports. You should see the last 2 weeks in Europe. The protests against the passports have been unbelievable. Good. Unbelievable. All over France, Paris, Germany, and we just had a big, very successful protest this last weekend in Amsterdam. So the pushback, don't ever let anybody make you feel that the pushback isn't there. The pushback is incredible. And one of the reasons it's credible is the information about adverse events and deaths is moving virally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, I just did a real short piece on the CDC because, you know, once again, they manipulate the numbers, and they were talking about the deaths that were reported to the VAERS system after receiving the COVID jab, which was around 6,900, close to 7,000, I believe. At any rate, they were saying that it was 0.0019% of people that received among people that received the jab had reported a death afterwards. Well, it's not. It's 0.0034%, almost double what they're saying, because they were doing the math against the number of doses as opposed to the number of people who received the doses. And they pull this crap all the time.
Right.
It's pretty frustrating.
Well, in repeated areas, they're saying if you've had two vaccinations but you haven't had the third, then you're unvaccinated.
I saw that. I saw something to the effect also, yeah. That
or if you've had one and not the second, you're unvaccinated. So the statistics, if you know, every week I get a report of the games they're playing on this in Israel, and it's frightening. I mean, if you look at what is being done to the Israeli people, it's very, very frightening.
Yeah.
So anyway, so there's what we know and what we don't know. And there's a lot about the ingredients and the stuff that we don't know. And under the law, you have to have informed consent. And you can't have informed consent unless you know what's in it.
Right. Right.
And if you just look at what we do know, and you had the link to the Doctors for COVID Ethics Gold Standard Symposium, and that's a very great source to sort of where they map out all the things we know. If you look at what we know, this stuff is far worse than I thought. You know, my expectation when it first rolled out is, okay, they want to chip us and they want to call a certain amount of groups, but it's not a full-blown Holocaust. This could be, Corey, a full-blown Holocaust.
God, I hope not. I hope not.
I hope not.
No, I talk with people all the time to get firsthand, you know, so how's your mom doing? How's your brother doing? How's your friend doing? Just to see, because like you said, I do think they're rolling it out. It's different. The ingredients are different, either in by batch or, you know, definitely probably by manufacturer. I know many people who got them months ago who have not had any side effects, and I know other people who are having terrible side effects.
Right.
So it's
like a lottery. It's like Russian roulette. Right.
Yeah. And I know people who are having effects by being, you know, spending a long period of time in close proximity with someone who did receive the jab. And that's even more bizarre to me. I would love to see some science or explanations on that.
I've yet to see any good information on transmission other than other than women who are breastfeeding, their babies die from the spike protein.
Mm.
So, and that's, those are some of the most tragic stories.
Well, and one of the other things with stopping the vaccine ID passports is it's not just there. They're also, like we talked about, ID me. There are other avenues they're coming at people trying to get the digital identity. It's because they know they're not going to get everyone onto these vaccine ID passports. So they're pushing the banks to start trying to request that their clients get on to some sort of a digital identity system.
Uh-huh.
We've got the biometrics, you know, that they're going to start rolling out.
Right. And the other thing we haven't talked about is 5G, because once you've got people on the vaccine passport, you've got them on the blockchain, you've got 100% of their data from birth on, and you've got 5G and can literally do a level of surveillance, sort of mind control and influence, you know, now you're really talking about not only the bankers controlling your money, but the bankers controlling your mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're simultaneously rolling out all these satellites. And, yeah, I mean, it's a massive smart.
And all funded with our money.
Yes.
We're financing the prison. That's the thing that amazes me. And, you know, this is all our your passport series is going to be part of the third quarter wrap up. So we're going to publish it in the third quarter wrap up. And Robert and I were just talking about, okay, how are we going to do the hard copy? Because these things are so long.
Yeah, they are.
And we finally decided, you know, this is about freedom. We don't care. We're going to have a really long third quarter wrap up.
Well, and I think we really only need to publish parts 3 and 4, I think, is the meat. Because I think most of your people probably, I mean, it's your...
Well, that's the question. The 3 and 4 are the real meat. And they kind of know 1 and 2, although they're very useful.
Yeah.
And but we're also going to be doing taxation. Because one of the places where the rubber meets the road is, why should we be building our own prison? And part of that is our taxes.
Yeah.
You know, because our tax money is being used illegally in criminal ways, not to mention in ways that are building our prison for us.
Right.
So I think that's one of the places where the rubber meets the road. Now, one of the things you said to me after, because this was an amazing, Corey, and I just have to say again, what an amazing job you did on this. I can't tell you how grateful I am. And, you know, you know, you're an incredible researcher. You did an incredible job. And I think it can make a huge difference to people who are really trying to understand this and how it fits in with the financial system, the health system, all the different parts. But by the time you finished part 4, I think you were ready to, like, never look at vaccine passports again.
I read one too many white papers.
Right. And then you said to me, I just want to write about solutions. So tell us about, so you come out of part 4, tell us how you felt and what you want to do going forward.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's a balance. I go back and forth because I can't help it. I'll see things that connect and I'm like, I have to get this information out to people. So then I go right back into the mud and I jam that out. And then I have to come back out and I have to create, okay, we got to think of solutions. Cause you know, I really like creating and
right.
I have an entrepreneurial spirit. And so, So I recently just did a piece on, let's see, it's 5 ways to financial security while building thriving communities. And I was trying to come up with ideas, kind of like 5 different, you know, business models. Some of them that involve people of, you know, with certain skills and others that involve absolutely no skills. It's something anyone could do. And, but in every case, it helps the community and it helps
right.
to build our community kind of outside the system so we can become more self-reliant and self-sufficient. And I think that is the key because we can spin our wheels as long as we want trying to figure out their game or try to get ahead of their game. But I think it's important that at the same time, we need to be implementing some of these solutions to protect ourselves for what is coming down the pike while
right.
also
so,
fighting
so
against
we have to. You know, they're basically saying if you want to do anything in our system, you have to inject yourself with poison after poison after poison after poison.
Right.
Because that's the one thing we know from just what we do know is the current list of ingredients is a very toxic load. It increases toxicity. It lowers, it suppresses your immune system. And then not only are you in the vaccine passport treadmill, but you're in a treadmill where they're making lots of vaccines. So if your immune system becomes suppressed, then what's going to blossom? It's going to be cancers. It's going to be shingles. It's going to be herpes. And now they've got a whole new series of mRNA vaccines to treat those.
Right.
You know, so this is a real treadmill. And the only way to get off the treadmill is to say, okay, well, let's go build our own community. Let's go build our own system. Let's go build our own local food. Anyway, so I'm pulling up on the screen share. Can you see it? 5 ways to financial security. So this is part of your conversation about, okay, what's the action? What are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's, of course, that's the conversation we have to have. But I wanted to have passports because you've got to know, you know, it's one thing to know something's bad. It's another thing to know you have to stop it. You have to say no. You can't adopt it. You can't do it.
Right. Right. I mean, we tried a year and a half ago to warn people, look, this is what the masks represent, and this is where it's leading. So do not wear your masks because there will be no coming back from this once we head down this path. And unfortunately, not enough. I was actually, I don't know, how did you feel? I was very shocked by how many people complied and submitted to everything they were asked to do. I was very shocked by that.
I've seen it so many times before that I wasn't as shocked. You know, because I've dealt with sort of the mind control in a number of situations.
Yeah.
What did surprise me, I will tell you, I haven't had a chance to watch Biden's speech yet, but I have gotten so many emails and calls from people who saw it and were shocked. And, you know, I've been saying for many years, so I'll use my allusion to the Beck brothers, who were the evildoers in the Yellowstone TV series with Kevin Costner. You know, they're the guys who play dirty. They kidnap your kids. They poison your cattle. They have people assassinated. And the great scene in the end of the second series when one guy says, you know, why do you do this? And the Beck brother says, because nobody ever fights back. And what I've been saying for 20 plus years is if we don't fight back, it's going to get worse. If we don't fight back, it's going to get worse. So it gets worse and worse and worse. And I think sometimes it has to get really, really bad for people to face it. Now, some people are never going to face it, but I see an extraordinary number of highly capable, highly professional, you know, people from all walks of life, all professions waking up and saying, this is nuts.
Yeah.
You know, I want nothing to do with this. I'm ready to go build a community. And so ideas that people like you and I have been talking about for years, suddenly it's getting in, you know, it's turning into a serious conversation. And I think that's good.
Right. So, well, and in some cases, honestly, I think some of these transformations need to happen. We need to go back, crazy out of control technology and get back to community and like the telemedicine. I mean, that's worked to our advantage right now. My God, if we didn't have the telemedicine in order to get prophylaxis or treatment, cause it's crazy what's happening there too. You know, now they're insisting all the big box stores, like Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, Costco, all of them, they're demanding that the pharmacies stop prescribing ivermectin and, you know, just like they did with HCQ last year. It's like they're trying to commit genocide right before our eyes. And anyone who can't see that, wow.
Well, I think it's overwhelming to see it. You know, I remember long ago having to look in the mirror and say, I'm the patsy. You know, and that's a very hard thing to do.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe that you're, you know, that you were that snookered. But I remember doing it. And the only thing that forced me to do it was that's what I had to do to stay alive.
Yeah.
I had to, that was a door I had to walk through if I was going to survive.
Right.
And so, you know, anybody who thinks the middle of the road is still there, they're going to be hunkering down on that middle of the road before the road gets pulled out from under them, which it will.
Right.
That's the nature of this environment.
Right.
Well, Corey, I can't thank you enough. Before we finish today, anything else you want to tell us about passports other than do everything you can to stop them? don't download that passport onto your smartphone. Don't do it. Throw your smartphone into the lake, the river, the ocean before you do that.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. I think we covered it pretty well. I mean, there's so many details in these reports. We could go on for hours, but I think people get the main idea here. It's very important to stop this in its tracks now.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Well, Corey Lynn, you're the best. Everybody check out Corey Diggs. Corey, tell them how they can support your work. You've got a Patreon account. You can sign up for updates at your site. Tell us a little bit about how we support you.
Yeah, so it's coreysdiggs.com, CoreysDiggs.com. And I actually have a support tab on there. So it's, you know, through Stripe, PayPal, Patreon, I have a swag shop and camping supplies and off-grid supplies. And I have a bookshop. So these wonderful lengthy reports that I do, I put into PDF format. And for a small fee, you can download them on my, you know, from my site, and I keep all the links intact. So, because I know a lot of people are wanting to archive the information.
Okay, well.
And then I have the weekly date podcast with the speaker and Edge every Friday as well.
Okay, well, Corey Diggs is a treasure chest, so I hope you check it out. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. And if you have any doubt, read Vaccine Passport 1, 2, 3, 4, because I assure you there is. You know, now would be a good time to start your own. So if you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck. And Corey, again, thank you for joining us on the Solari Report.
Thank you.
Have a great day.